Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. God is good. Donna, it's good to see you back in fellowship with us. Donna's back, and after her fall and all, it's just good to see you. Just like to mention that. Don't forget, we're still in our November 2nd through the 19th. That'll be Wednesday, Shoebox Ministry. You still have time. If you have not filled up a shoebox and brought it, just have it here by Wednesday night. That way we can get them delivered this week. Tomorrow night, we'll provide the meal for the ESL, the English as a Second Language class. If you would like to help with that, just meet at First Baptist in Cairo at 7:30 p.m. This Thursday at 7 p.m. is the Men Standing in the Gap meeting at 7 o'clock. So please, men and young men and boys, please mark your calendars for that. And then next Sunday, November the 23rd at 6 p.m. is the Community Thanksgiving Service at Wigham Methodist Church. The meal will be provided after the service. So please come and worship with us there. There'll be no service here that night. And also on Wednesday, November the 26th, there'll be no prayer meeting. Saturday, November the 29th, that's the Saturday after Thanksgiving, we'll be decorating the church for Christmas. If you would like to participate, meet here at the church at 9 a.m. We can use all the help that we can get as we start to decorate our church and all. And then Sunday, November the 30th, the sanctuary Christmas tree will be set up, and we'll be decorating it during the morning service. So mark your calendars for that. Sunday, November the 30th, the evening service will be held in the original church. That morning, we'll have the Lord's Supper and fellowship meal after the morning service. Mark your calendar. Saturday, December 6th, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. is our third annual community supper giveaway for tickets. I'm tearing everything up. We have tickets for you to distribute, to give out to families and to individuals. If you would like tickets, go ahead and start inviting people. The tickets are here. Just get with Brother Tim or with me if you would like, and get the tickets. Now, how we did it last year, you can get as many tickets as you need. But as we gave out tickets last year, if it was one family, we would give one ticket to them, and on the back of it, just put 4, 5, 6 or whatever. Just be sure to let us know, let Brother Tim know how many, at least maybe, that you have given out, so we can have an estimate of how many plates to prepare and all. Last year we prepared how many?
279 is our best count.
Around 279 last year. So hopefully this year maybe it'll even be more. But just keep track of them as you give them out, and let Brother Tim know how many that, you know, whether it's 10, 20, 100, or whatever on that. But please start, you can pick up your tickets at any time. Just get with him on that. Anything else about that? Sign-up sheet? Not yet. Okay, they will be. As we get closer, they will be items that we'll need. Brown rice, desserts. Macaroni and cheese. We'll have a list on the table for you to sign up where you can bring the side dishes and all for that. Did you want to say something about it? Or?
Well, just the Friday before, I'll meet up smoking the Boston Bugs.
You want to feed us too?
Yeah.
If you have not participated in helping prepare the Boston Bugs, Friday, what time are we going to start? 9?
Probably 9. We'll get started seasoning everything and then get them on the smoker. And then,
even if you can just come for just a little while, y'all, please just come to see what it's all about. You might even get some cooking tips, some smoking tips from the chef. I don't know. But We'll start around 9 o'clock, and that's the Friday. That would be the 5th, December the 5th. And it's an all day. It takes all day to do it. So we, even if you can just come for an hour or two or something, the help would be greatly appreciated on that. We had 27 in Sunday school this morning. I can continue to encourage everyone, if you're not involved in our Sunday school, please consider that. We have classes for all ages. Any other announcements? Any birthdays?
Arrow King.
Jesse. Hey, they pointing at you, brother. I'm sorry.
Paula.
Wait a minute now.
You get the same.
I always sing. So, Harold, Paul, it was a Jesse, Harold, Paul, or any others. Well, since it is Harold's birthday, or it's not today, but whenever, let's sing happy birthday.
What day was your birthday, Jesse?
Friday.
You singing?
Yeah.
I want to sing happy birthday to Jesse.
Paula.
So this is it. You get some joy. Everybody, happy birthday
to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. We are thankful that we can gather here today, Lord, and worship our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. We thank you for our list we have in front of us today, Lord, all the ministries and plans that we have during this holiday season through Thanksgiving and Christmas, Lord. And there'll be more in the coming weeks. We know that, Lord. But, Lord, we just... we just pray your blessings on these ministries and these plans, Lord. We want to look for you, Lord, for continued guidance, Lord, and the leadership in doing these things, Lord. And we always want to just give you the glory for all the things that are done here in Wigan Baptist Church, Lord. Lord, but we do come to this part of the service where we want to lift Brother Tim up to you today, Lord. Lord, we know that he's going to stand before us and proclaim your word today, Lord, and Lord, we just thank you for that, Lord, and we just pray, Lord, that as he leads us in the worship service today, Lord, in the preaching and the teaching, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that, Lord, we realize, Lord, that salvation is by grace through faith, Lord. We know that, Lord. We hear that every week, Lord, but, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that we realize that our salvation is just the beginning of our Christian life, Lord. And, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we'll just be obedient and faithful as we talked about this morning in Sunday school. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Well, let's all stand and worship together as we sing. We have come into his house. We'll be on the screen. It's not going to be from the hymnal this morning.
Have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship Christ. His name and worship Christ the Lord.
to the Lord.
You take the Bibles today and turn to Galatians chapter 2. We've been studying through the book of Galatians, and as we come to this passage that we're going to read this morning, it's going to sound real familiar when we get to verse 20, because we asked Miss Shawna if she would play that song, Crucified with Christ. I know many of you have heard my background of being raised up in the church and everything, from a very legalistic type family. You know, even though I knew I had prayed to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, for many years I struggled with my faith. Not that I didn't believe in God, but because so many times the statements were made, well, if you were really a Christian, you wouldn't do this or do that, and you would do this and do that. But we often find ourselves, even people who claim to be preachers or Sunday school teachers, they know themselves that they can't do everything that they're supposed to do. Paul's a great example because he said, you know, there's a lot of things I want to do and I don't do them. And there's things that I shouldn't do and that I do. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am. You know, the only thing that can save us is the grace of Jesus Christ through faith. And it is only through believing in him that you and I can be saved. It's not by the works of the law. It's not by keeping any kind of commandments. But now, I do want to make a side note. Once you are saved, not that you have to work to keep your salvation, but when Jesus comes into your heart and life, you should have the desire to do what God wants you to do. Okay? It doesn't mean we're going to get it right every time, but we should have a desire to please our Heavenly Father, and especially when we realize how sinful we are, but how gracious God is, how forgiving God is. And when we realize that and understand that, then we can stand firm in our faith. It's like the old song says, standing on the promises of who? It's not on my works, it's not on my doings, it is on what he has done and will do when we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If there's one verse that you would say, I want to lead somebody to Jesus Christ, there's really only one verse you need in the Bible. Which one is it? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It doesn't say that whoever works for him or whoever gets everything right never does anything wrong. Right? It doesn't say that. It says whoever believes in him. As we look through these verses this morning in Galatians, we're going to back up just a moment to verse 16 and get the context. At first, I was going to start out at verse 18. That's why I sent Brother Tim and Miss Shauna. And so, anyhow, I asked her if she'd add verse 16 and 17 to these as well. So let's just begin reading. Paul writes, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith. Remember, it's by faith, not by works, in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? And what does he say? Certainly not. In other words, Christ didn't cause you to sin. He didn't cause you to be the way you are. Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in what? In vain, we pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we have read your word this morning, Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand it. I pray, God, that you would help us to have the faith, Lord, that you have done everything necessary. Lord, we just need to receive the gift that you have offered to everyone who will believe in you, who will put their faith and trust in you. Lord, and then, we get that one thing right, Lord, and everything else lines it up. So, Lord, lead us and guide us today as only you can. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've heard that verse. I think verse 20 in Galatians is the verse we all need to memorize. It's one of my favorite verses. Through the times that I struggle with my salvation, I always learn to come back to that verse. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When I find that verse, I realize that God loves me. I believe in him. He has saved me. But there's one problem. What is that? I'm still in the flesh. Right? I hope you're still in the flesh. We're all still in the flesh here today, and so there's going to be that constant struggle. There's going to be that battle between good and evil, between what I want to do and what God wants me to do. And I'm going to fight that battle and keep struggling until the day I die. Because oftentimes, we know the right thing to do, just like the nation of Israel, right? They knew what the right thing to do was, but what did they do? They chose not to. They chose to be disobedient to God. God didn't write them off. You know, he continued to work in their lives. And God does us the same way, to even today. Many times we wonder what in the world's going on. I prayed this with men earlier before the service. And many times we want to know what in the world's going on in our lives, right? Because we choose to do things we know is against God's will and God's word, and then we wonder why we're going through tough times, right? Sometimes God's correction comes because of disobedience, sin in our lives, and that is a very great possibility. And sometimes God allows us to go through trials and temptations and situations, circumstances, so that he can grow us into the person he wants us to be. When we think about these things, we often struggle because, you know, we know what God wants us to do. We know what his word says, and yet we sometimes still choose to do the wrong thing. And when we do the wrong thing, we begin to doubt, because sin in your life will cause you to doubt who you are in Christ, okay? Plain and simple, if you've got unconfessed, unrepented sin in your life, you are going to struggle with your salvation. Why? Because the two don't mix. Sin and Christ don't mix, okay? That there's no standing on the fence post. You're either on one side or the other side. Either you're in Christ or you're struggling. If you're really a Christian and you're on the wrong side of the road, guess what? You're going to doubt who you are in Christ. So we need to confess our sins, repent of those sins, and turn back to Christ and realize that he is the one who loves us unconditionally. Paul starts out there in our passage in verse 16 through 19. He's telling us of the battle. Because our thought is, as I've already covered in the past, we tend to treat God the way we treat each other. We love somebody as long as they do what? Right? But the problem with that is, here again, it goes back to the sin nature of us. We tend to treat God that way. Somehow we're trying to be, and we should be, striving to please God. But we do that through faith, right? Because Hebrews told us that without faith it is impossible to please God. And so we come to the point in life where we many times struggle because we think that God is just like us. Because if somebody does you wrong enough times, what do? You write them off? Somebody steal from you? Remember God told the nation of Israel that they were robbing him, right? So we think that if we rob God enough times, he's going to write us off. Sometimes we think if we do enough wrong, God's going to write us off. But God doesn't love us based on what we do, okay? God doesn't love you based on what you do. God loves you because he is love, and he has chosen to place his love on you. That is his gift to you. Now, as I mentioned earlier, that's a gift that we have to receive. But Paul writes here, and he's saying, listen, if I try, once I have been saved, once I place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and then I go back to the law, right, as a way of life, I have become a transgressor of law. What does that mean? Well, let's just simply put it this way. If you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? You're saved, right? You're saved. But then if I go back to trying to live by the law, I have taken myself, not that I've lost my salvation, but I've taken myself out of the grace of God, so to speak, because now I'm trying to please God, live for God according to the law instead of according to grace. Each time we come into situations in life where there's a struggle, we always go back to that thing. Am I honoring God or dishonoring him? And we should ask the Lord that. But then at the same time, if we know we're saved and that somehow we got to keep the law to be pleasing to God and to keep ourselves saved, that's wrong thinking. And Paul says here, listen, that if once I'm saved, I've destroyed the law, so to speak. Not that it's gone, but I'm no longer under the law because I'm in Christ. I'm under the love of God. So when I'm in there and I try to go back to living according to the law, I really go back from faith to flesh. Okay? Could the flesh ever save me to begin with? Could the things I do in the flesh ever save me? No, it is only through the grace of God, through faith that Jesus Christ offers to us. The law, as I have mentioned many times over the last few months, the law was never intended to save you. Okay? You say, how do you know that? Well, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24. Listen to what Paul writes. Same letter to the church at Galatia, right? So he's carrying on this same thought. And he says, therefore, the law was our what? Tutors, the schoolmaster, teacher. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. To bring us to Christ. It was never to save us. That was not the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law was to show us that on our own, in our flesh, you and I could never keep God's laws. Right? And studying in Sunday school, adult Sunday school lessons, been talking about the laws that Moses gave. God gave Moses. Moses gave the people. The people could never keep them. I know there was one other person in the Bible that said he could keep them all, and Jesus didn't even argue with him. He just said, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come follow me. Right? He claimed that he did the first four commandments. Or didn't do the first. He loved his neighbor and honored his parents and everything. But he didn't love God. God wasn't first place in his life. And so here's the thing. Paul says, therefore, the law is our tutor, our teacher, to bring us to Christ, to show us just how filthy we are and just how insufficient we are to be able to do anything for ourselves as far as salvation. It would be like them taking me out on an airplane and dropping me out in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. Say, okay, swim. If you want to save yourself, swim to the shore. Guess what? I probably wouldn't last an hour unless something come floating by me and I grab a hold of it. Unless somebody comes and takes me out of the water, I am going to die. Right? I'm going to die. I'm not going to make it. But you know, that's the same way that the law is. In the law, in our flesh, there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. Can't be good enough, can't give enough, can't serve enough. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. And the law was, the purpose of it was to show us that in our flesh of our own, there is nothing we can do to save ourselves. So what did God do? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Imagine being out there in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico earlier, didn't I? It's now the Gulf of America, remember? Brain fog, you know? I forgot about that. Think about this. Think about God's wanting to rescue me out of my sin, out in the Gulf of America. I'm out there, can't do nothing, can't save myself. And so God says, okay, I want you to believe me. I'm sending somebody to help you. That's when God sent the laws, right, to show us. And I said, no, I can't do that, can't go for that, don't believe it. And so God sends another way, and this would be the prophets of the Old Testament, right? Because they declared the way of the Lord. They told Jesus was coming. And so now God says, okay, you wouldn't listen to me before when I gave the law. You won't listen to me when I sent the prophets. So now I'm going to send my son Jesus. Final chance. Final warning. Because if you accept him, you can spend eternity in heaven with me. But if you reject him, if you don't receive him, you will spend all of eternity burning in hell. And you say, okay, well, you know, I know Jesus. I've been to church. I've sang songs. I'm a pretty good person. Surely God's going to let me in. No. He's going to look at you and say, depart from me. I never knew you. Is that something we are willing to stake eternity on, that you've been good enough? How many of us have ever told a lie? You don't have a raised hand. We all have. How many of us have disobeyed our parents? Every single one of us, right? So just those two things right there, we're guilty of because of one sin. The Bible tells us in the book of James that if we break one of God's laws, we have broken them all. See, in verse 19 of Galatians chapter 2, Paul says, For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. You see, once we're in Christ, I'm not saying the laws of God are not something to guide our lives by, right? They are. But once I'm saved, I'm dead to the law because it was never the way to save me to begin with. My faith, my future is in Christ, and that is through faith and faith alone. How do we know that? How do we know that? Because Paul here is saying this, when Christ was crucified and died on the cross, in a way, I was crucified with him. Romans passage, if you put that in. Romans 14 says 6:14. We have 1 through 14. Okay. Give me just a second. One through 14, yes, ma'am. I know we've covered this before, but I want to go back and look at this and see what Paul talks about, how our lives should be. Listen to what it says. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because here's the thought that some people had back in these days. Well, it's because of God's grace, let's just sin and do everything we want to do. People live that way today in church. They claim the name of Christ, but they live like the devil and say, well, I'm just going to keep on sinning and sinning more so that God's grace will abound more and more. Does that make sense to you? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his what?
Death.
His death. All right. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? It doesn't say walk in the old ways. It doesn't say walk how you used to do. It says in the newness of life, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of what? For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin, how many times?
Once
for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the what?
Law.
But under what?
Grace.
Grace. See, we get caught up time and time again. Because there's a constant battle going on inside of us. If you're a child of God and you don't struggle with right and wrong, something wrong with you. Because none of us, as far as I know, have reached perfection yet. None of us have reached the stage where we no longer sin. There's always that battle. But here's the thing. Because of what Jesus Christ did in you, if you are his child, if you're saved by grace, you are no longer able to say the devil made me do it. How many of y'all ever said that or heard it? Devil made me do it. A child of God can never claim those words because it's not true. Why? Because if Christ is in you, he has set you free from being a slave to sin. What the passage tells me, you read it again and again when you get home. But it's, I've been set free from the slavery of sin. And I have been set free not to please myself, but to do what? work righteousness, to do the things God wants me to do. You see, Jesus spoke in John 3, verse 14, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. He is saying this, listen. When he died on the cross, because he said, if I be lifted up, right? That was his purpose there. He came to be lifted up on that cross, to be crucified, so that he could set us free from sin, from the slavery of sin. You see, today, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but you know, I'm going to ask a question. You can remain silent. How many of you have a ring that has a cross on? How many of you have a necklace with a cross on? How many of you have a cross in your house? How many of you might have a cross on the back of your car on your bumper? You see, today we have a high view of the cross. But how many of you would wear an electric chair on your neck? Symbol of an electric chair or fire squad. Electric chair. Anybody want to wear it? See, today we have a high view of the cross, but in Paul's time, the cross was not a piece of jewelry. Because the cross was a symbol of death. Because Jesus died on the cross for our sins. So we look to the cross. We look to what Jesus did on the cross as our hope, our salvation. Because Jesus said, our Bible quotes in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there are, I'm back from the beginning. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness of sin if Jesus' blood had not been shed on the cross of Calvary. If Jesus' blood, well, if Jesus had not been crucified and shed his blood, there's no way of salvation, right? Take away the blood, because see, a lot of churches have quit preaching the blood of Jesus. A lot of people have quit, churches have quit preaching about the crucifixion of Jesus because they say that man's good enough on his own to get there. But isn't that what the Judaizers were doing? They're saying, listen, it's okay to believe in Jesus, but you got to do all this stuff too. You can get there on your own if you just work hard enough, try hard enough, believe enough in yourself. Because they say all roads lead to where? To heaven. Is that true according to the Bible? No, it is not. Without the shedding of Jesus' blood, I have no hope of salvation. I have no way to pay my sin debt that I owe. I needed somebody. You needed somebody, because we're out there in the middle of the Gulf of America. We're out there in sin, but there's no way to keep law. Can't get there. Can't make steps to get me back to shore. I've got to have somebody rescue me. And isn't that what Jesus came to do? He came to rescue me from myself. He came to rescue me from my sin. But as we also look in verse 20 of Galatians chapter 2, he says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's a word that we all found out in elementary school, I'm sure, if not middle school or high school, and it is the word substitute what? Teacher. What did your substitute teacher do for you? They didn't really do it for you, but they substitute, they filled in for your teacher. Here I am, a sinner.
I am deserving of hell because the Bible tells me for the wages of sin is death. Eternal separation from God. Jesus was my substitute. When I should have been nailed to the cross, guess what Jesus said? Believe in me and I'll take your place. You see, when Jesus died on that cross, he knew every single person that his faith and trust, or that people would place their faith and trust in him, believe in him, that he would say, all that the Father gave him would come in. He knew. So in a very real sense, when Jesus died on that cross, he not only had the Father's will in mind, but he also had your name in mind. There's a song I've mentioned a couple times since I've been here. Maybe one day I'll get brave enough to sing it. If not, it's I Should Have Been Crucified. Elvis Presley thing. I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on that cross in disgrace, but Jesus, God's Son, took my place. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he paid your sin. The wrath of God had to be settled because God is a just God, right? That payment had to be made. Somebody was going to take that punishment. When we place our faith and trust in Jesus, Jesus is the one who takes our place. He is our substitute. In John 10:11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his what? For his sheep. Isaiah 53:4-6 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for whose transgressions? For our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. You see, that speaks of substitution. But as another thought, I thought about this. When somebody is crucified, somebody dies. Right? Somebody dies. Jesus died in our place. He died for our sins. And Paul's telling us in our passage that, listen, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Paul is saying, listen, it wasn't that Paul hung on the cross of Jesus. Jesus was hanging there for Paul. Jesus hung there for us, for who believe in him. But in the same way, for me to live to Jesus, I have to die to myself. Right? I have to die to myself because it's not natural for me. I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about spiritual, mental. That I begin to die to my desires, my wants, my wishes, and start asking God, what is your wants, your wishes, your desire for me? How can I please you? How can I obey you? And then begin day by day to live that out. In Luke 9:23, Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him take up, or let him deny himself. That means I have to die to myself. Deny myself, take up his cross, my cross, and follow him. You say, what is that cross? Is it a physical cross? No, not a physical cross. But Jesus saying, listen, if you're going to follow me, you got to do things my way. You got to put your faith and trust in me first and foremost, and then follow me. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. Whatever that cross is, and here's just my side of it right here. You say, well, oh, what is my cross? It's whatever God asks you to bear for, right? Because we all have a different cross we have to bear. Because some people go through cancer, some people go through divorces, some people go through a loss, whatever it may be. Are you following Christ in that midst? In the struggles, in the trials, deny himself, take up cross, follow him. I believe Paul would say it this way, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Here again, another one of my favorite verses, or at least I use it quite often. Paul says, I beseech you, Lord, and I beg you, brethren, those who are in Christ, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your what? Reasonable service. That's bare minimum, bottom line. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, when Jesus comes in our hearts and lives, he wants full control. He wants every part of our lives. So for some of us, our cross might be to say, okay, Lord, I know I'm saved. I know I'm struggling. I need you to help me. I want you to have full reign, full control of my life. Lord, help my thoughts, my wishes, my dreams to become yours. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. This might shake up some of us. Those who are Christ's. In other words, if you belong to Christ, you have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I wonder for us, if you're not saved, this really don't count for you. But those of us who are saved, have we been striving to crucify the flesh with the passions and desires that come with it? Are we truly living to die for ourselves so that we could live for Christ? Are we striving to be that way, to live that way in our hearts and lives? Listen. Galatians chapter 20, verse 21. Paul says this. He says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. How about us this morning? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Are you living for him? Have you been striving to crucify the flesh, so to speak, so that you can live for God? Because there's one or two things true. Either we're living for God or we're not. Right? We're either living, striving to live for him, or we're striving to live for ourselves or Satan. Jesus did not die in vain. Amen. He didn't die in vain. That's the whole gospel message. He died with a plan and a purpose, and that purpose was to save sinners from their sins, to save us so that we can live for Jesus Christ. We needed somebody to step in, and Jesus did that. We all need Jesus to be our substitute. Is he yours? Are you living for him? Are you living like you're saved? Are you living that way? Is it evident in your life? Not to yourself, because you can lie to yourself good as anybody, right? Is Jesus evident in your life, your words, your works, everything? If not, he's not your Savior. I encourage you this morning, put your faith and trust in him. But maybe there's something else in your life you're dealing with and you need God's help to put it out of your life. Will you pray with me? Stand with me. Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, we're just thankful that you have done all that was needed, all that was necessary to offer us forgiveness, to offer us salvation, to offer us a new way of life. Lord, if we have never done that, I pray today would be the day that we would just simply say, Lord, I believe that you are who you say you are, that you came and you lived a perfect life and you died on the cross for my sins personally. Lord, you said if I put my faith and trust in you, believe in you, Lord, that I will be saved. And Lord, it sounds so simple. And it is, because you have done everything necessary. All we must do is believe. But then, Lord, once we are saved, Lord, you call us to a life of faith and to a life of obedience. Lord, help us to realize that, as Paul said, all the things I count as gain are as lost, Lord, I can now count as gain because, Lord, you gave me a new plan, a new purpose for my life. Lord, whatever decisions we need to make this morning, Lord, I pray that you would just, Lord, help us to realize that nothing we give up will ever compare to what you have given to us. So, Lord, help us to believe, help us to trust you, help us to obey you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.